Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. I am an attorney in Michigan, and in a recent video I said something about not wanting to handle divorce cases. And somebody said, Steve, why is that, that you would not want to handle divorce cases? And, you know, it's interesting because when you practice law, you're often encountering people who are upset with other people. And there's usually some conflict, some strife, and if it ends up being a lawsuit, when one person sues another, there's often some discomfort felt by both parties. And so obviously, as an attorney, I encounter people who are unhappy, and that's why they've come to me, because they're unhappy often about a car they own. But the problem with divorce cases is, and I've seen this too many times, is that there's a certain amount of animosity that often exists between parties who are going through a divorce that is at a greater level than the animosity that many litigants feel when they're simply suing a business or doing something like that. So I thought I would talk to you about this. And I mentioned also previously that there's a case in Michigan, a divorce case in Michigan that is now nationally famous, if not internationally famous, because, and I'll give you the headline straight out of the Detroit Free Press, is this Oakland County's most toxic divorce ever? And the author of the article, John Wisely, is really, really understating this, because this is quite possibly the craziest, ugliest divorce case you will ever hear about. And it is between two people whose first names are Omer and Maya. Last name, I'm guessing, is Simone. I could be mispronouncing it, and I apologize, but I don't recognize how some of these sounds would come off these letters. So I'm just going to refer to them as the couple from here on out. Okay, husband or wife. So here are the some of the highlights. For instance, this lawsuit for divorce was filed 9 years ago. Now, there are children involved. So it's not uncommon that a court will maintain supervision over a divorce case while the children are involved, simply because that's how you supervise, you know, visitations, things of that nature. But as the author of the article wrote, if bitter divorces ever became an Olympic event, these two might compete for the gold medal. Their case in Oakland County became internationally infamous when the judge locked up the couple's three children for refusing to have lunch with their father. But that's just one of the many facets to this story. So the litigation's been going on for over 8 years, actually 9 years now. And by the way, the article I'm reading to you is from a year and a half ago, but the case is still going. So as of the moment of the writing of this article, though, there were over 1,000 docket entries. And a docket is the court's record of what happens on a file. So usually the first docket entry is complaint filed. Then there's often proof of service filed, number two docket entry. Then number three might be answer filed, and so on. And so this case has over 1,000 docket entries. Gets better. There have been 21 lawyers who've appeared on the case. 21. The wife had 16, and the husband had 5. But still, 21. The court had this file assigned to at least 3 different judges and had gone up to the Court of Appeals more than once already. And there were also cases filed in relationship to this divorce case in the U.S. District Court, the federal court in Detroit, and also in courts in Israel. And at the moment of the writing of this article by John Wisely in the Detroit Free Press, they were estimating that $400,000 had been spent in legal fees. So let's just talk about this. Birmingham lawyer Henry Baskin, who is considered to be one of the best divorce attorneys around, says, it's the most toxic case I've ever heard of since I've been practicing. It's war between these people. There's hate, there's vindictiveness, and everybody gets burned. So Baskin is just another lawyer in the area. He's not actually working on this case, but he's watched the case closely. And so he said, considering the number of lawyers who've been involved, I think 20% of the bar is involved at one time or another. And he's joking. So Oakland County Circuit Judge Lisa Gorsica was nearing the end of her first year in office in December of 2009 when she was randomly assigned this case. Okay, it's a divorce case. And the case involves minor children. And we know that because the case code has a DM at the end, which stands for divorce with minor children. Gorsica had been an assistant prosecutor before being elected judge, so she was no stranger to hostile court proceedings, Mr. Wisely writes. But it's doubtful she could have anticipated this particular divorce case would alter her career so dramatically. Gorsica's lawyer, and yes, the judge had to get a lawyer. This case is every judge's worst nightmare, Thomas Cranmer later told the Michigan Judicial Tenure Commission when he had to defend her actions before them. Now, the husband lived in Israel, but has since returned to Michigan, where he is employed as an engineer. He is an Israeli citizen and a former pilot for the Israeli Defense Forces. He earned a doctorate in industrial engineering from the University of Michigan and now works as a General Motors researcher. And he's lived most of his life in Israel, but currently resides in the U.S. The wife is the ex-wife is a pediatric ophthalmologist by training who formerly taught at the U of M Medical School. A court filing indicated she's let her medical credentials lapse, but is working on restoring those. Court records show they married in 1995 in Israel, where they both grew up, then moved to the U.S. when she accepted the job in Ann Arbor. They had three children between the years of 2001 and 2005, who were born in the U.S. but have dual citizenship between the U.S. and Israel. In November of 2008, Omer returned to Israel to take a job at General Motors and had hopes of bringing his family back with him eventually. The family did move to Israel, but several months later, the wife returned to Michigan with the children. So in December of 2009, the wife filed for divorce in Oakland County, claiming the marriage had broken down and her husband was trying to take the children back to Israel. So he responded by filing court cases in Israel, claiming his wife had kidnapped the children, and also in U.S. District Court in Detroit, claiming that she'd violated the Hague Convention, a multi-country treaty which seeks to protect children from abduction across international borders. So, while the divorce case proceeded, the wife was awarded temporary custody of the children, and then that's when things escalated. At one point, Homer had called the police claiming his wife slapped him as he tried to leave the house after an argument, and then she later sought a personal protection order claiming he assaulted her in front of her children. When the children visited the father, he was required to surrender his passport to the wife, who held it until the children returned to her. And the tensions grew. Exchanging children became so hostile that police were needed to mediate the transfer. By September of 2010, Gorsica ordered psychiatric evaluations of the children and the parents. So a couple months later, the husband made his first claim of parental alienation, arguing that his wife was deliberately turning the children against him. She denied it, claiming the children were simply afraid of their father, whom she said had been abusive toward them as she couldn't force them to love anyone. That issue, of course, continued for years. In August of 2011, the judgment of divorce was entered, granting joint custody, but with the children living with their mother most of the time. So the father was ordered to pay $1,750 a month in child support. The acrimony continued, with the father continuing to claim that his children had been poisoned against him, figuratively speaking, and that they barely spoke to him when he saw them. Eventually, the children began protesting spending time with their father at all, and Gorsica sought to enforce their father's rights to see them. And this is the judge now. She'd ordered the children to spend time with their father, but they refused. And at one point, they linked arms in the hallway of the courthouse to prevent them from being taken into court. So the three kids sat in the hallway, linked arms, and when the judge said to the bailiff, bring those kids in here, they refused to go into the courtroom and they tried to block it physically from happening. So by early 2015, Gorsica began warning the children that if they continued to defy her orders, they could be held in contempt and sent to Children's Village, which is the county's youth shelter and juvenile detention center. She also continuing to pressure the mother to facilitate parenting time for the father. And the judge grew so frustrated with the mother that on April 2, 2015, she ordered the mother to report to the court at 9 a.m. and be detained in the courthouse lockup until 4:30. Things are just starting here. So at a hearing on June 23, 2015, Gorsica threatened to jail the mother if the children didn't improve their behavior toward the father. The court ordered the children to meet with their father the following day in the court. One of the children met with the father at 9 a.m. in the jury room beside the judge's courtroom, but word soon reached the judge that the child was not interacting with the father. So the judge spoke to the child briefly, then wrote a script for the mother to read to all the children, explaining that their father loved them. When three children returned to the jury room about 11:30, they still refused to communicate with their father. So the judge began contempt hearings against the children. The oldest child apologized to the judge, but refused to apologize to his father, saying his father was violent and had hit his mother. Gorsica told the boy his behavior was the worst she'd seen in 46,000 cases. And this is the quote, "You, young man, are the worst one. So you bought yourself living in children's village, going to the bathroom in public, and maybe summer school." Sheriff's deputies then handcuffed the boy, who was 14 at the time. The judge compared the boy's actions to those of cult leader Charles Manson and made a circular motion with her finger near her ear as she said it. "Dad, if you ever think that he has changed and therapy has helped him and he's no longer like Charlie Manson's cult, then you let us know," the judge said. She eventually held all three children in civil contempt and ordered them held at Children's Village for the summer and scheduled a review of their detention for September. "No one from mom's side is allowed to visit any child at Children's Village," Gorsica wrote in an order. Now, the Michigan Supreme Court then ruled that Gorsica committed judicial misconduct when she directed disparaging and demeaning remarks at the children. The court rejected a 30-day suspension recommended by the Michigan Judicial Tenure Commission and simply ruled that a public censure was enough for the judge. So at this point, everybody's scrapping with everybody. The husband and wife are divorced, and now they're scrapping over the kids. The kids aren't cooperating with the court because they say the father's mean to them or whatever. And meanwhile, the judge is scrapping with the kids. And now the Judicial Tenure Commission, which oversees judges and their behavior, recommended the Michigan Supreme Court that she be kicked off the bench for 30 days. And that suspension was overruled, but they did, in fact, give her a public censure, basically saying, look, what you did there was wrong. So news of that soon exploded. News of the detention of the kids being sent to the village exploded media coverage in the U.S., Europe, and Israel. The case became a flashpoint in the parental rights argument. Fathers' rights groups rallied to the side of Omer, agreeing that he was the victim of parental alienation. Other groups rallied to the side of the mother, claiming the children can't be ordered to love somebody. Facebook pages sprung up. GoFundMe pages were set up to raise money for legal fees. And the mother claimed to have spent more than $400,000 in legal fees, at least one of her attorneys asked to quit because of unpaid bills. The children did spend 17 days at Children's Village before Gorsica agreed to release them to attend a Jewish summer camp. And in July of 2015, Omer asked the court to grant him sole custody of the children, and in August, they were placed in a 5-day reunification program aimed at addressing parental alienation. After that, the judge gave the father temporary custody and ordered the mother to have no contact with them for 90 days. The mother wouldn't see her children again in person for almost 9 months, reuniting in April of 2016. So in September of 2015, the mother accused Gorsica of being biased and asked Gorsica to recuse herself, which she at first refused to do. The mother then appealed to Oakland County Chief Judge Nancy Grant, who declined to hear the request, citing a possible appearance of impropriety, and she turned the case over to St. Clair County Judge Daniel Kelly, who ruled that Gorsica should remain on the case. The Michigan Judicial Tenure Commission filed a misconduct complaint against Gorsica over her actions in the case, and Gorsica insisted that she'd done nothing wrong, but asked Grant to reassign the case, and she did, this time giving it to longtime judge Joan Young. So now it's someone else's nightmare. Gorsica, of course, is now off the case, but found herself battling the misconduct charges. Cranmer, Gorsica's attorney, later asked the Michigan Supreme Court to dismiss the charges, saying that her actions were a one-time occurrence born of years of frustration with this case that was so obviously wildly out of control. Cranmer wrote that everything she did, referring to the judge, in this case, with the exception of the hearing with the finger thing, indicates her good faith and due diligence. Lynn Helland of the Judicial Tenure Commission disagreed, saying it is a referendum on whether Michigan permits its angry judges to insult, berate, and ridicule children and demonstrate a loss of impartiality, and with the barest of nods to due process, find a child in contempt of an order that didn't exist. Well, that's one way of putting it. Meanwhile, Oakland County spent over $110,000 in legal fees defending Gorsuch against the charges with the Judicial Tenure Commission. So meanwhile, Gorsuch wasn't the only person to have her career messed up by this case. In September of 2016, Paul J. Fisher, the executive director of the Tenure Commission, who filed the complaint against Gorsuch, was fired. He later claimed in a lawsuit that he's the victim of religious discrimination because he is an Orthodox Jew. Fisher said that shortly after the news reports of the children being sent to Children's Village, he received a letter from the Consul General of Israel for the Midwest expressing concern about Gorsuch and her handling of the children who have dual citizenship. He wanted to speak to the children and asked Fisher to ask the father's lawyers to arrange it. And Fisher eventually passed on the request. And when he ran into one of the lawyers at a social event, handed him the business card. And he was eventually fired. That commissioner had previously told Fisher, "You're Jewish, you speak Hebrew, you've been to Israel." Fisher's lawsuit, meanwhile, is pending in U.S. District Court. So when Joan Young took over the case from Gorsuch, she quickly put both sides on notice that they needed to behave better. "I like to think of this as an honorable profession. We should treat each other civilly," Young said. She noted her disappointment at the hostile tone found in some of the pleadings, telling both sides she wouldn't tolerate disparaging comments. But both sides continued to fight the case. In January of 2016, the mother asked for custody of the children to be returned to her, and her attorney wrote, "The children lost their mother from their lives on June 24th, 2016. In early April, she was allowed to see them again, but 3 days after the first reunion with their mother, the father asked again for sole custody. In May, Young, the second judge, ordered the couple to take part in mediation, and in June, the mother was once again primary custodial parent, having the children about 68% of the time. Young retired in December of 2016 after 30 years on the bench, and the case was then reassigned to Judge Victoria Valentine. I know it sounds like a superhero name, but that's her name, Judge Victoria Valentine. The mother later asked for child support to help pay the expenses, saying in pleadings that she lives on an allowance from her parents in Israel of only $9,000 a month. Her ex-husband makes more than $200,000 and should pay more, she said. Lawyers for both parents eventually withdrew from the case. That didn't end it. New pleadings continued to be filed as recently as earlier this month, but continued on through at least December of 2018. The judgment of divorce was entered in 2011, but they will continue to litigate matters, as you might imagine. And most recently, they sold their Ann Arbor home. And as of the writing of this article, both parents represented themselves. So that is a nightmare case. I admit that's an extreme case, but you always have a problem, it seems, in divorce cases. People don't get divorced because they love each other. And so as a result of that, divorce cases can become contentious. That one was extremely contentious, and it seems that everyone it touched got even more contentious. That's why I don't do divorce cases. So I'll put a link or two up in the description below so you can go look at some of this stuff yourself. I had to go through that kind of quickly because there's so much information there. But that is an out-of-control divorce case, and that's what I fear. So that's why I don't do divorces. I do lemon law. Questions, comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.